I have to disappear for a second. My dog's got a bone stuck under the desk.
Oh, okay.
The desk, the kitchen table.
My
And they're
workspace.
gonna keep hitting it until they can get it out.
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Liz.
Hello, Miss.
What is up with you?
Oh, you know, just doing the same stuff. Trying to work out, getting some cosplays ready for Colossal Con, and doing work stuff.
Look at you doing things.
Not great.
I'm like, I got an Instacart order in the other day. That's about as much as I've done.
I mean, that's something.
It is something.
It's way more productive than what I'm doing, which is sometimes posting TikTok videos, making cosplays, and attempting to write a page of a book that I'll never print. So,
I don't know. I'm really excited about what you told me about it.
I'm very excited to get past 6 pages and then to actually do stuff.
How long does a book have to be?
I don't know. Enough to like tell a story. But I was, for a while I was struggling. I was like, okay, well, she literally hasn't even left her apartment yet. We're 5 pages in. The whole thing like takes place in New York City. So we still got to get on a plane. We still got to get to the city. Shit needs to happen. And then like the story needs to unfold.
Lots of
so
things.
So I'm aiming for a decent amount.
Okay. Like, are we going like a 400 page novel? Or are we talking like Harry Potter or
right?
Gone with the Wind?
I'm shooting for like, no, not Gone with the Wind. God, nobody wants to read a romantic comedy Gone with the Wind length. That's just the whole, like, that's Sex in the City, I guess.
Have you ever tried to read Gone with the Wind?
No, I just watched the movie.
It's difficult. It's difficult to get through. I didn't make it very far, but that was like in like 8th grade or something. I tried to read it.
Was this a choice?
Yeah, I wanted to read it because I liked the movie.
Okay, I was going to say, they definitely didn't have me reading that in 8th grade.
No, it wasn't required reading. It was a...
Okay.
I tried to do it on my own, and I failed.
I did that with a lot of Charles Dickens.
You're like, oh, David Copperfield, that sounds like a good book.
No. I was like, you know what I should do? I'm going to go to my middle school library and just take out A Tale of Two Cities. Let's see what that's about.
Is that the one that it was the best of times, it was the worst of times?
Yes.
Okay. See, that's as far as I got.
unfortunately, as a child, I did not read Great Expectations. I stuck to A Tale of Two Cities and Oliver Twist.
Yeah. A Christmas Carol is where I went.
A Muppet Christmas Carol is where I went.
I have that. I had it on VHS and I have it on DVD. And now it's probably on Disney Plus. I don't know.
And then I found later on in my life, F. Scott Fitzgerald. I did read a lot of Shakespeare as a kid, though. I did a lot of Shakespeare monologue contests. Going back and now rereading the monologues that I read, no wonder I didn't place. I think I was just like, so first off, we did the Romeo and Juliet scene. And not what you would think. I was Romeo.
Nice.
So there was that. But it was but soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, for she is that whole thing. And as I was reading it again, I was like, I didn't even like act that out at all. I think I just was so happy that I could.
That you remembered it?
Do William Shakespeare. Because I always got to the one part where it's like, be not her maid, for since she is envious, her vessel liver is sick and green, and none befools who wear it. Cast it off. It is my lady. Oh, it is my love. Oh, that she knew she were. And I think that's where I'd fuck it up. And I'd stop and be like, because then it's just like, he doesn't do anything. And then he just goes, she speaks, yet says nothing. What of that? Her
what
eye discourses, I will answer it. I am too bold. Tis not to me. And like, I'm like 10. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
The only thing that got me into Shakespeare was Leonardo DiCaprio.
That was a good one. I later found all those guys. Ernest Hemingway. That's not middle school stuff.
No.
No, for whom the bell tolls.
I don't remember a lot of my required reading in middle school.
I know we had to read Catcher in the Rye, Fahrenheit 451, Citizen Kane, To Kill a Mockingbird, Lord of the Flies, Animal Farm. And I don't think we had to read Great Gatsby. I chose to read Great Gatsby. We did have to read 1984, though.
We had to read The Great Gatsby. We had to read The Outsiders. We did have
to read The Outsiders, and that was one of my favorite movies. I was so happy when it came time. They were like, now we're going to watch the movie. And I'm like,
I know.
Put it on.
It was awesome.
I would like to see all of the hunky men. Hello, Rob Lowe.
Good times.
Yep. Great oldies.
3WS.
Oh, man. Oh, since we're going back in time, I guess that would be having a start in the beginning.
The very beginning. Well, not the very beginning.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's how I circle back. I'm good at circling back.
Yeah, back in time.
Welcome to, this would be like Back to the Future, season 4, episode 3, In the Beginning, which came out October 2nd, 2008, takes place in Lawrence, Kansas and Haleyville, Kansas, and is set between April 30th and May 2nd, 1973.
May 2nd, that just passed. What's May 2nd?
Hmm?
May 2nd is Sammy's birthday.
It is Sammy's birthday.
And it was last Sunday.
Uh-huh. Oh, Sammy.
Oh, Sam. He's, what, 38 now?
Mm-hmm.
But we go back in this episode before Sammy was born, before Sammy was a thought, a twinkle in the eye.
Wait, hold up. So if May 2nd is Sam's birthday, I feel like we need to do this because it's going to come out around his birthday. That would make him a Taurus.
Oh, we're going to do it. Okay.
I'm going to start doing this now.
Okay.
All right. So that would make Sam a Taurus.
Well, now I need to get a list of everybody's birthdays. Where's my pen?
Taurus traits are reliable, patient, devoted, responsible, and stable, along with being stubborn, possessive, and uncompromising. And they like gardening, cooking, music, romance, high-quality clothing, and working with their hands, but dislike sudden changes, complications, insecurity of any kind, and synthetic fabrics.
Like flannel?
Well, that doesn't seem right. And would you like today's daily horoscope for a Taurus?
Yes, please.
Waters of the moon in Pisces might be peaceful, but they will provide... Oh my God! Okay, hold on, restart. Okay. Taurus's horoscope. Waters of the moon in Pisces might be peaceful, but they will probably remind you of ties to the past or dependencies that you haven't yet found the root to. If there is a reason for all things, there's a good time to start digging for it until you fully understand your choices and inner motives. You can see that some behaviors are a simple cry for help. If there is no one else to recognize it, be the one who does, the right person to talk to in the end, in the time of end need, even for yourself.
What? That's crazy.
That's wild. Okay, so that's our Taurus horoscope for Sammy's birthday.
Oh my goodness. That's a creepy Tauruscope right there.
That is a creepy Tauruscope. Oh, man. All right. So, in the beginning.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Are you ready?
I am ready. Tell me what happens in the beginning. I'm going to say that every time.
In the beginning?
In the beginning. From the very beginning.
To the other beginning.
Yes.
Sam sneaks out of the motel room to meet up with Bruby again. Like, come on.
Fucking Bruby. Like, you got to stop with the sneak.
And he sneaks out like he's cheating on his wife, by the way.
I mean.
Like, he's very quiet. He does the look back at Dean as he's sleeping. And that, yeah, it's creepy.
Kinda.
He's like, oh, is she going to hear me? No? Okay, I'm going to go. Castiel appears beside Dean's bed to transport him back in time to Lawrence, Kansas, with literally just a little two fingers on the head. Little boop, you're out.
He gave him the Itachi. There's in Naruto, it's a real sweet thing that Itachi does, and really sad later on, that he does to his little brother.
Aww.
Which is the two fingers to the forehead. I know.
Man.
This whole episode's gonna be full of a bunch of, like, nerdisms.
So Cass transports Dean back to Lawrence, Kansas in 1973 with the cryptic warning.
With a cryptid?
Yes, that's where I went, apparently, and that is not what happened. With the cryptic warning that he must, quote-unquote, stop it. There, Dean meets a younger John Winchester and Mary Campbell. The family reunion gets bigger when Dean meets his maternal grandparents, Samuel and Deanna Campbell, who are hunters who have brought Mary up in the hunter life. However, there is even more to this than Dean had imagined, as Mary had made a desperate deal with Azazel that resulted in his appearance the night she died. Dean also finds out that Azazel had fed Sam his demon blood that night as a part of a plan that Azazel hints is even bigger than previously thought. Dean fails to kill Azazel and fails to save his family, and when Castiel returns him to his rightful time, he admits that there is no changing that because it was meant to happen. Castiel and the angels only wanted Dean to find out what Azazel was up to for himself. Castiel then sends Dean to find Sam, warning him to stop Sam from going down the dark path he is on, or Castiel will, indicating that he will kill Sam if necessary.
Sam cannot join the dark side.
Nope. It's not going to be good.
Mm-mm. But can we talk about kind of the blessing that Sam did, that Cass did for Dean? Because Dean was having a horrible nightmare of hell.
Yeah.
As Dean does now.
Yeah, and he woke him up out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice of him.
That was very kind. I thought that diner was really cute.
I liked it too. I think when Dean woke up on the bench, he didn't do enough looking around.
Oh no, he definitely didn't pay attention at all. He like whipped out the phone and immediately was trying to figure it out. He kept whipping out his phone.
Whipping it out.
Whipping it out in public places.
He was just assuming that it was still 2008 and not even paying attention to like anybody's clothes or like any advertising that was going on, or like he just wasn't, but all the cars, like, come on Dean, pay attention to what's going on. Cass went back in time too.
Yeah, I didn't know angels could do that.
Apparently.
But yeah, Dean didn't even realize until he broke everybody's heart about Sonny and Cher.
Yeah. Then he started looking around like.
He's like, oh shit, I fucked up.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Oh man. Yeah. John's like, wait, what? Sonny and Cher broke up?
And then the poor guy, the poor owner just looked completely heartbroken.
Did Dean ever pay for that coffee?
Sonny and Cher didn't even actually like finalize their divorce until 1975.
I know. I have that. I have a tiddly bit about that. Would you like me to stab it in right here?
No. Save it for your special time.
Okay. Oh. I have special time.
Yeah, I felt bad when I just like yanked one of your tiddly bits right out.
You're like, no, I don't want to hear it now. That's fine.
Also, what are the odds that Dean's just going to walk into a diner and sit right on down next to Daddy?
Oh, I think that was by design.
I think that was Cass?
It was probably Cass, yeah.
But I'm surprised the Dean has never seen like older pictures of his dad. Like his dad was in the military.
Yeah.
So how would he not?
I wouldn't know how he looks that different in a 6-year span. So this is 1973 and Dean was born in 1979. So how in 6 years does he go from Matt Coet, young John Winchester, to older, which is only like John Winchester in his, you know, mid to late 20s. How is there that big of a difference?
That's wild.
Like, man, being a mechanic really must have aged him.
Seriously. Or maybe like, no, because he wasn't even a hunter yet.
No, he wasn't.
And how about that plot twist?
I did not see, like, obviously now I knew that was going to happen, but I did not see that coming the first time.
Well, because all you do, you're so focused on Dad. You're so focused on Dad and how Dad is like so head deep into this.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't even stop to be like, oh, maybe he wasn't a hunter. What caused him to be a hunter?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. So did you think Mary, like, told him about it? Because I don't think he knew.
John?
Yeah. I mean, after the fact, like, you know, after the ending where her dad's laying there on the ground.
I don't think she told him at all.
But then
she was telling Dean, she was like, don't say anything. And she only had, like, that weird charm bracelet. Which, like, what happened to that charm bracelet? Why'd she stop wearing it?
But, like, how would John have known after she died to, like, go looking for things that were supernatural?
I think it started when his obsession of trying to find out what happened to her.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how would he have known that there was anything other than, you know, like, if someone didn't come in and kill her and light her on fire? I don't know.
I don't know. I think that could have just come from his obsession. Or maybe she did say something.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe she kind of gave it in, like, a bypass of, like, hey, so my family did this shit. I don't want our kids in that.
Yeah, here's a quick rundown.
Here's what we're not going to do anymore.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't kill my dad. You know, the guy that's laying over there. He's actually a demon. And he's gone, yeah, but he'll be back in 10 years.
Yeah, I feel like she felt like she probably had to come clean.
Yeah. And I like how John says he's a mechanic who, you know, has a family of mechanics. And he was going to buy the hippie van.
Well, because he promised somebody.
I know,
was the family car.
But it was a 2-door Impala. Like, it's not like it was a 4-door Impala. It's not like it was a 2-door. It's plenty of room.
Yeah, but that one is kind of more of a muscle car and therefore not nearly as safe.
Mm,
when it comes to family. It's like somebody getting a Ferrari with babies.
Well, that's not practical because there's no back seats.
Okay, bad example. But I was trying to think of like a big, like, and at the time, like a badass muscle car, because none of the muscle cars now are like that cool. And if they are, they don't have back seats. So you're definitely not bringing him home to the wife. But I thought it was cute to see their dynamic and how just like John was in the military and everything, came back and was so nervous, and they had this cute little relationship.
Totally different from anything Dean had remembered or seen of his dad.
Oh yeah. This is whole new. And his mom, because I mean, his only memory of his mom, at least he has memories of his mom, unlike poor Sam, were all of like mom. Mm-hmm. Not like this badass chick.
Right.
Who's a total babe.
Oh, no, you don't say that about your mom. Like, that's just getting creepy. You can say your mom was pretty, you know, but not that your mom was a babe. And no. You're like creepily staring at her through a window. Like,
yeah, that was some like Animal House shit. He was just staring at his mom. And again, like, were there just no pictures of these people? Like, what were the conversations?
I don't know. Again, how did she age that much in 6 years? I don't understand.
And I feel like at some point, every kid, I mean, granted, they were being taught, like, how to saw off shotguns, but, like, every kid kind of asks, like, who was I named after? Where did you get my name?
Oh, yeah, they never talked about their grandparents.
No, and I like the fact that Dean got Deanna.
Yeah.
Got the male version of his grandma. And that they both decided to name them after her parents.
Yeah.
Not any of John's family. In fact, we don't know anything about John's family.
That's right.
Besides, obviously, that they're tied to like their Winchester name. But that's all we got.
I like when Dean goes to, what's his name's house? Who's the guy that has the Colt? Elkins? Daniel Elkins?
Elkins.
He goes in and he breaks into the guy's safe. And he just walks out with the Colt. Like, that guy was so trusting. He's like, I gotta save my family. This is where it'll be. And he's like, okay, have fun. Just bring it back.
I'm just surprised that everything kind of made its own trip, like, including the journal. Like, the journal came back.
Yeah.
Even though the journal at this time never existed.
Right, yeah. And it was still, there was still stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. So, like, nothing changed. And obviously, we saw that with the cell phone, with the fact that the cell phone was just like, no signal. Not that it didn't exist at all. And that John Winchester made a Star Trek joke, which means he gets that from his daddy.
Yeah.
He gets his pop culture and sci-fi references from his dad.
So that could have been like a clue to tell you that nothing changed. So Dean thinks he's going to save everybody, you know, kind of at the beginning, like he's going to stop Azazel then, but he still has the journal that has all the stuff in it that his dad wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't think about it that way.
Yep. It just goes to show you that he didn't, like, no matter what he tries, destiny's already kind of predestined for this to happen.
Right.
And that there's a higher power at work.
I totally forgot that Azazel was in Samuel when Dean and him are talking at the table and he wants the Colt and then he shows his eyes. And I was like, holy shit. Aubrey's like, what's wrong? I was like, no, I just forgot this part. It's fine. Fine. Everything's fine.
Also, like, can you imagine the pressure on Dean and like just to see how much family really means to him in this episode, because basically Cass explains that Sam wasn't allowed to get on this, Dean had to do it, but if it alters the future, it means that they're not hunters, which means all the people that they saved will die. And Dean's still just like, but yeah. I don't want my parents to die. Like, I want best of both worlds, but you can't have that. I choose this.
Right. He's like, but it's my mom and dad. He's like, yeah, it would suck that I didn't save those people, but
I'd have my family.
Right.
Sam would potentially, depending on how it goes, go to college and still somehow meet Jessica and she would still be alive. I mean, and also to see this thing where like you have these two brothers who have thrown themselves into the hunter world, and you have now this idea of John never actually being the hunter we thought he was, and finding out that it's actually Mary, but Mary doesn't want it.
Right.
She wants everything that she isn't. Mm-hmm. She explains that like John is so sweet and so optimistic and so like innocent and everything that a hunter isn't. Because she wants to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then we find out that, like, her father doesn't want that at all.
Oh, Samuel.
Which is weird, because can you imagine being in a family where, again, you're stuck in this dichotomy of, well, you can't marry somebody that isn't a hunter.
But then he hates hunters.
Because that's just the way. Mm-hmm. It broke my heart when he told his mom to just not get out of bed.
Yeah, that was so sad.
His eyes. When he looks at his mom and he's making eye contact and he just tells her, no matter what you do or you hear or what you see, do not get out of bed. basically like just essentially sacrificing his brother. He's like, look, whatever happens to Sam's fucking fine. I don't care, but you cannot get out of bed.
We can deal with that later. Yeah. As long as you're still alive. And clearly she does not listen.
No.
And then Mary makes the deal anyway, just to bring John back.
Demons know how to get you.
Well, I mean, I guess her mom and dad were already dead, so what did she have left?
Just him. Her one spark of hope. Ugh, this episode hurt.
And it's to be continued.
I know.
Big TBC at the end. I was like, what? No. It literally did that.
And I also just like the fact that, like, at this point, like, no one will still tell Dean what's going on with Sam. Like, he kind of knows what happened now.
Right.
But he has no idea what Sam is doing with Ruby. Still. Ruby. All he knows is that, like, it's bad. He's going down the dark path of the dark side. And that angels are going to kill him unless Dean stops it. Even though Dean doesn't know how to stop what he doesn't know.
Does he know it's Ruby yet?
I don't think he knows it's Ruby yet.
I don't think he knows it's Ruby either. He just knows that Sam's doing some
shady shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan. Is this our first to be continued episode? That isn't a season finale.
Yeah. I think so.
I think this is the first time we've seen the to be continued.
Ooh, two-parter. I bet the Jerry Padalecki fans were upset that he was not in this episode.
This was the first time he wasn't in it, but he's in almost every other one except for like one more episode way later that he has like very, very, very limited screen time.
Yeah, he was in the first 15 seconds and then no more Sam. Bye-bye.
No more Sam. But he's in Metamorphosis a lot more.
Well, that's good. It's like Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosize.
Do you want me to hit you with some tilly bits?
Do it.
Okay. The title of this episode is taken from the opening words of the Book of Genesis. It is also the opening lyrics for AC/DC's Let There Be Rock. You can't email me while we're... Come on.
Also funny, in that it is the opening lyrics to an AC/DC song, and Dean chose a Van Halen last name.
Yes, Dean Van Halen.
I feel like that was a missed opportunity in this episode to use a last name from AC/DC.
Oh, yeah, that would have been...
It would have made more sense to me.
They didn't consult us in 2008.
Mm-mm. I could have been a real asset to the series.
We can go back in time.
We can go back in time. To the beginning.
In the beginning. The diner scene where Dean meets his young father, John Winchester, for the first time pays homage to the same scene in Back to the Future where Marty first meets his young father, George McFly, also in the diner. They even did the, hey, Winchester. Hey, McFly.
Except I'm really surprised that Dean didn't catch on to that for all of his Back to the Future references. He wasn't just like, Dad?
What? Dean asks Castiel if the angels got their hands on a DeLorean, which is another reference to Back to the Future, Avi. And another one is one of the demons is named Dr. Brown,
which of also
course is Christopher Lloyd's character in Back to the Future.
Freaking love Christopher Lloyd. I was listening to a podcast slightly on the DeLorean, and it was a really failed car.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the DeLorean Motor Company, who was created by John DeLorean.
Mm-hmm.
In 1975. And what was it? He originally worked for, I think he worked for Ford. I'm trying to remember off of the top of my head from this podcast I listened to like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I can't remember the car company.
And he left to create this, and it failed so much that he, like, they made one car, they completely went bankrupt and everything, and they ceased operation like within 7 years.
He went to jail for cocaine trafficking. Like,
well, he was set up. He was set up. There was a whole sting about him because he needed to make money. And this was during like a big cocaine bust. And they were trying to get a bunch of people to move a bunch of cocaine. And he happened to be one of them who happened to be cut.
But he was still trafficking cocaine.
Oh, yeah. No, he was still. He was still totally trafficking cocaine. But his daughter actually ended up bringing him to like a car collector thing convention. And it was all to the DeLorean because there was this resurgence after Back to the Future.
Yeah, he worked for GM.
GM, that's it. General Motors, yep.
Did you watch the Expedition, the Josh Gates episode? Oh, you might not have. I think it might have only been on Discovery Plus.
Nope, still haven't. Nope. I still don't have Discovery Plus, so I haven't watched it.
Sorry.
Ghost Adventures keeps teasing me because I keep watching its reruns.
There was a great little mini, I think it was more than, it was a little mini series they did.
I saw the commercials.
It was really cool. It was really cool what they did, and they ended up auctioning off the DeLorean that they built, and it's pretty neat.
That's neat. But he helped create like the 6V engine for GM. So he got really well known in like the car company world, and then bounced to create his own, and then that all happened.
Oh, poor DeLorean.
But it all worked in his favor because Back to the Future came back with the DeLorean.
Yep.
And brought it back to popularity.
There was also a DeLorean in Wedding Singer. Glenn Gulia had a had a DeLorean. Okay. In the diner scene, Dean mentions that Sonny and Cher broke up, causing puzzled responses, as it's 2 years before Sonny and Cher broke up. The fact that Rambling Man by the Allman Brothers is playing at the same time is likely a subtle nod to the fact that Cher married Greg Allman right after she broke up with Sonny.
Oh my God, if they did that on purpose, I love them even more. That is phenomenal. I didn't even catch that.
My favorite Allman Brothers song is Sweet Melissa, just saying. I don't know why.
Biased much?
As I said, the song playing is Rambling Man by the Allman Brothers. The date on the newspaper, though, says April 30th, 1973, and Rambling Man didn't come out until September of 1973.
So it had to be on purpose, or else they weren't working on their continuity.
Someone failed on that one. Dean wakes up on a bus stop bench bearing a sugar-free tab ad. The extra curly A is a subtle giveaway that Dean is back in an earlier time. That particular A was used in the tab logo from 1967 to 1979.
Okay, at least they came back on the continuity on that one.
Yeah.
Was it on purpose that they did that, or do you think that was... Okay, so here's the thing. Because Netflix sometimes changes the music in Supernatural based off of what was originally played in the actual series. I'm wondering if that was a change or if that was...
Oh, I don't know.
A Netflix switch.
I don't know. That was not mentioned anywhere if it was. Because normally it'll say like on Netflix this was played. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see that anywhere. Wasn't noted. When Dean asks young John if he knows where to get cell phone reception in his flip phone, John answers the USS Enterprise. The designers of the flip phone purposely made the first cell phones to mirror the communicators of the classic TV series Star Trek, the original series.
Yep, there's a ton of stuff through Star Trek that has actually made its way into our own use and vernacular. It's really wild.
The diner Dean enters where he meets his dad is called Jaybird. This is the same nickname given to Jensen Ackles' oldest daughter, Justice Jay.
Aww, that's cute.
This episode stars Mitch Pileggi as Dean's grandfather. Pileggi has a role on the show The X-Files. He was the assistant director of the FBI. Kim Manners was a producer for The X-Files, and Supernatural is often compared to The X-Files. And we now know that Mitch Pileggi is Walker's dad on Walker.
Yup.
He followed Jared over.
They're all following Jared over.
Dean and Samuel appearing together in priest outfits is reminiscent of when Dean and Sam did the same thing in season 1, episode 14, Nightmare. In the Beginning is also a Journey album, which was released in 1980. The diner where Dean first met young John, an elderly man tells John to say hi to his old man for me. But we learn in season 8, it's a little spoiler, we learn in season 8 that John's father vanished when John was a child, though the old man could also allude to a stepfather, adopted father, or grandfather. John's actual father was not around.
Ooh.
The idea that Mary's parents were both demon hunters, just like Mary herself, is an extremely surprising twist in the story. Sam and Dean's mom, not John, their dad, who grew up as a hunter, and Sam and Dean were named after Mary's parents. The Campbell family are shown as active hunters in a flashback to 1969 in the spin-off novel Supernatural Heart of the Dragon, which reveals that the Campbells financed their hunts through Samuel's dry cleaning business and Deanna's work as a substitute teacher.
They're just the all-American couple.
He's got a little dry cleaning business. Hunting. Yeah, other than that, you know. Do a lot of demons get their clothes dry cleaned?
I mean, every hunter's got a front except for John, apparently, who just didn't get that memo because there was no one, everyone was dead before they could give him a heads up of what to do.
Well, he was a mechanic for a while, you know.
He was a mechanic before he was a hunter. Bobby's a full-on mechanic. Like, John doesn't really, he kind of launched headfirst into this obsession. Never took a side job to, like, keep him afloat besides teaching his kids how to, like, steal money, use fake cards.
The VW van John Winchester Naylor buys instead of the Impala is possibly a shout-out to the mode of transport known as the Mystery Machine used by the Scooby Gang in Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? When Mary and Dean get into the fight outside the diner and Dean pins Mary to the wall, we get a glimpse of Mary's bracelet. The charm on the left of the bracelet is the Aquarian star. Little spoiler, this is the same symbol used by the Men of Letters. We'll find out more about the Men of Letters in season 8.
Ooh.
Oh, another season 8 thing. Oh, look at that.
All the season 8 things. Wow, this really ties back. Well, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, Mary deals for John's life on May 2nd. This is Sam's birthday. It is also the same day that John Winchester traded his life for Dean's, and Dean traded his for Sam's, and the day Dean went to hell. So many tradings for people on this day.
You gotta stop dying.
Just May 2nd. I'm sorry, Sam. It's just not a day anymore because everybody's just trading everything. There was a goof. Dean is seen driving a Ford Pinto with rectangular headlights in 1973, which, by the way, he looks so funny in that little car.
He did look real funny in that car.
The Pinto had round headlights through the 1978 model year. They didn't have rectangular headlights until the 79-80 model years. So
they probably just couldn't find a car. They're probably like yelling out to all the car collectors, and they just probably couldn't find that model. So they were like, well, close enough, I guess.
They're like, one, who wants a Pinto? Two,
who maintains that Pinto?
Who's going to care about the headlights on the Pinto? Apparently someone IMDb cares car about Pinto, man. Headlights.
They're wild.
Do you think there's a large market for Pintos, though?
I think if you're obsessed with cars, it's like dinosaur people.
I don't know.
They have their favorites, but they know every dinosaur.
That's like in Cars, where those kind of cars are like the lemons. Like, oh, here, Jim's blog. Will Pintos ever be collectible? How much is a Ford Pinto worth?
Not much.
$10,000. $9,585. How many deaths were caused by Ford Pintos? Oh my God.
So what you're saying is they're not a safe car.
No, rear impact related fuel tank fires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had the, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I forgot about that on the Pinto. Because you know I'm such a connoisseur of old cars.
Oh, it was discontinued.
That sounds about right.
Okay, moving on.
Yep.
What do you have for us today, Liz?
Ooh, it's my turn?
Yeah, I'm done. My last two okay. bit was about
I thought there was another one. Nope. I was waiting for it.
I just okay. wanted to go off about the All Pinto. Right.
Cool. We'll end on the Pinto. Every time we say Pinto, I want to say bean.
That's a lovely Pinto.
Bean. okay, so what I am going to be talking about, strapping, because it's going to get a little technical.
Oh, like strapping into your Pinto?
Strap into the Pinto because there could be rear impact. It's going to get wild. So before we go into it, my sources that I had to use for this research, because I had to be technical in my research.
Well, what are you trying to say? Is that stab?
It's a little stab. No, it's not. Because once you hear what I'm doing, like, I can't just talk out of my ass with this one. Or maybe I can, but those that know about it, I cannot.
Out of your Pinto gas tank?
Yes, out of my rear gas tank. That is the nicest way to say fanny I've ever heard. You sure got a rear nice gas tank.
Fanny?
I'm going to be horrible getting out of quarantine and hitting on people.
We call that a touche around here.
Excuse me, I see you got that honky-tonk badonkadonk. Oh, man. I hate to see you go, but love to watch her leave. Now, on that note, okay, so here are my sources.
I think everybody's going to be rusty.
No
one
is going to be listening to this at this point. They've turned us off.
Oh, shut up. No, they didn't.
oh, man. I've been watching way too many TikToks and, like, point of view TikToks that, like, all I can think of is just really cheesy pickup lines on how to get, essentially, Steve, Loki, or Bucky, and I don't know what to do with myself. And I don't have Tony or Clint to, like, back me up on this. So my sources that I used for this are scientificamerican.com, Cantor's Paradise, space.com, and plato.sanford.edu. Let's get into it. Have you ever heard of the predestination paradox?
No.
All right. Well, the predestination paradox, or the causal loop paradox, is a situation in which a person travels back in time with the intention to change the outcome. In addition, becomes part of past events. Now, this may have caused the initial event that caused the person to time travel back to in the first place. So essentially, that person could have caused the event that they're going back in time to try and fix.
Oh.
So predestination comes from the Greek word prozero, with pro meaning before and orizo meaning determine. So pre or pro determined, meaning something's already determined. Now this term is used in the Bible 4 times. It's also used by Greek physician Hippocrates to describe the outcome of medication once medication has been administered. It is mentioned by scientific writer Robert A. Heinlein in 1941 short stories, quote, by his bootstraps, and in 1959's All You Zombies. It was coined in 1996 in Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode Trials and Tribulations.
Triple?
Yeah, triples. Making a comeback. Because in that episode, Captain Sisko takes the USS Defiant back 105 years to save Captain Kirk from being assassinated. So two things to remember about time travel and causality. One, time is not absolute, but relative, according to Einstein's special relativity theory. And the theory of relativity allows for space and time to kind of fold over onto itself, creating these kind of like ribbon-like things, in which ends up creating closed time-like curves. And causality is defined as relation between cause and effect, in which an effect cannot precede the cause. So the predestination paradox is usually associated with two other paradoxes, one of which is called the grandfather paradox, which is a potential logical problem that could result from someone traveling through time, in case you didn't know. An example would be someone travels back in time, killing their grandfather, in which then causes their own existence to be impossible. And then there's the bootstrap paradox, or the closed causal loop, which is also known as the ontological paradox. And that comes from the term pulling oneself up by the bootstraps, which is almost impossible, but occurs when an object or information is sent back in time, then trapped in an infinite cause-effect loop where the object has no discernible point of origin. An example, someone going back in time to teach someone something. Or in this case, one of the examples being Dean pointing out the Impala.
Okay.
Which, in theory, could have happened regardless of Dean going back in time. However, we will never know where that origin started, if John actually chose that car, or if Dean caused him to actually choose that car.
Right.
So the predestination paradox is comparable to a self-fulfilling prophecy, meaning that the time traveler will try to fix something only to realize the outcome is still the same and the outcome is actually their fault.
Oh, snap.
And there is something called the Novikov's self-consisting principle. It was developed by Russian physicist Igor Dmitriev Novikov in 1980s and was created to help solve the issue of these paradoxes in time travel. And the basic principle of this is that the time traveler must only create a consistent version of history and change nothing. Because if they change something, that would cause a paradox to happen, and or if you believe in a theory of multiverses, cause that timeline to split.
Ooh.
And this, Novikov's self-consistency principle, is actually a big point of contention in Donnie Darko.
Okay.
So this is all on the idea that time travel is possible due to the fact of Einstein's belief that time and space fold over onto one another, so there's a ways to connect and go back. But because time travel is potentially possible, and obviously Stephen Hawking held a party for future time travelers at one point, the idea of a paradox is almost unavoidable, because regardless of what happens, even the smallest things, such as Dean going back in time and flipping out a cell phone in a time frame where it doesn't happen, can potentially change or alter a timeline. So in that kind of scenario, you'd have to go back in uniform or whatever dresses there, not use any of your lingo, stay in the time frame, or don't actually interact with anybody. So Dean was pretty much just rocking this bootstrap paradox tied with this grandfather paradox, because while all still sticking with the pedestrian paradox, in that he mentioned the Impala to his dad. He mentioned obviously Sonny and Cher, which kind of changed things too. Almost completely, no one knows what would have happened if Mary hadn't gone into the room.
Right,
but that kind of completely altered everything also, because who knows, maybe the demon wouldn't have just dropped his blood into Sam. Maybe he could have slaughtered the whole house.
But maybe if she hadn't gone over to that Liddy's house, he wouldn't even have got her scent, possibly. So he wouldn't even have gone after Mary.
Yep. And then the idea that Dean did everything possible to try and stop the same outcome from happening, and the same outcome still happened, as proof of the journal.
Yeah.
Because here he is changing consequences, and how Mary created that tie with the demon with yellow eyes might not have been how it happened in that time frame. It could have been something very different, in which her parents were killed and she was trying to save them. And in this time frame, parents are dead, same outcome. John is now dead, same outcome. She makes a deal with yellow eyes.
Ooh, intriguing.
That is the idea of the casual loop paradox, or the predestination paradox. There isn't too much otherwise. I could have gone into like horrible, like grinding detail about time travel. but we're going to be dealing with time travel again in another episode. So I figured I would just focus on the idea of the predestination paradox, because that's essentially what happens, which ties into the other paradoxes associated with it, along with the Novikov's self-consistency principle, which is a way to potentially not experience a time travel paradox. And it also tied in with Star Trek, which ironically, my roommate and I went to the gym this morning because she wanted to go to the gym, and I was like, I'll go with you. Horrible mistake. And I'm wearing my Starfleet boot camp running shirt.
Oh, nice.
Without even thinking about this. and then obviously Donnie Darko, which is one of my all-time favorite movies, which is a whole like clusterfuck when you try to sit there and figure it out, because it's all about time, space, and travel and everything. And I forgot if I did Azazel. So I was like, I'm not doing Azazel. I'm doing time travel.
You know what? He doesn't deserve it. Okay.
He doesn't deserve it.
He doesn't deserve your breath.
But I also thought it was really interesting that, so predestination, like I said, is mentioned 4 times in the Bible, which I thought was very interesting, because usually I wouldn't think of predestination.
Yeah.
Being in the Bible.
I wouldn't think,
let alone like 4 times.
In the beginning.
Well, in the New Testament, Romans 8:11 has a statement on predestination. A lot of the mentions are in Ephesians, such as, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And then obviously Romans has a couple of them for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Basically a lot of stuff meaning that the Lord created this and it was all predestined before we were all here, because the Lord willed it.
Interesting.
So you want to think about it that way, it could technically tie back to this episode of Supernatural, in that everything was already predestined by God, because now we know he exists, because now we have angels, and that whatever's happening with Sam and Dean was already predestined from the beginning, and that no matter how hard they try, they're not going to be able to change the outcome. They're going to have to just enjoy the ride and try and figure it out from there.
I don't know about enjoying it, but...
When you think about it, can you imagine how many, if this were a thing, and instead of just creating... the paradoxes, you were creating essentially these multiverses, and I'm in a big multiverse phase right now, because I'm a month and a half out from Loki, which is all about timelines. And can you imagine if every time, and I mean, we kind of get a glimpse of that when we go into Billy's library to see how many times Dean dies, how many multiverses there would be if there was a spike every time they did something they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
It would be insane.
That would be crazy.
But that's all I got for you. next episode, we will be talking about episode 4, Metamorphosis.
Ooh.
This one is sad, though.
Yeah.
It's real sad.
But we get to go back and deal with a monster.
We do. We get to have finally a monster.
Back to the roots.
I also like the fact that, like, Dean doesn't ask any questions. His, like, way of dealing with his brother is to just now punch him. He is a straight shoot first, ask questions later. He's like, you might have blood coming out of your nose, but you tell me now after I beat you. Now you can't get away. Now you have to tell me things. Yeah, because he finds out who Ruby this episode.
Ruby.
He finds out who Ruby is. Which you gotta imagine, he's gotta be like, this hoe again?
She's
Sam,
back.
Do you at least know her name now? Like, how much are you paying her?
Classic Ruby Sam.
Classic Ruby Sam. This whole shenanigans. Oh my god, and I forgot. Okay, I'll have to mention that. I'm writing that down. Super excited about this one. These next episodes are just going to be full of a bunch of nerdisms from me. You got...
You're just going to nerd out.
Yeah, you got Star Trek in this, and you got Donnie Darko in this. Next time we're going to get some other fun ones, unless you mention it, which I don't know if you will. But I might just tag along, piggyback off of your tiddly bit.
You're going to join in for the fun.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for this episode, unless you got anything, Miss.
I got nothing. Oh, wait, I do. This is coming out on Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
So, in honor of Mother's Day.
Oh, such a great day.
It's a wonderful day. Happy Mother's Day, Miss.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're such a badass mom.
Oh, I appreciate it.
In addition to you being a badass mom, here are some honorable mentions for mothers from Supernatural that we should celebrate. We have Andrea Barr. She was in Dead in the Water. And then we got Susan Thompson and Grandma Rose. Missouri Mosley.
Oh, I love her.
Alice.
Happy Mother's Day.
Alice Miller. Wasn't her fault that Max was crazy and a psycho. Yeah. Tessa. Lisa.
Oh.
Happy Mother's Day, Lisa.
Happy Mother's Day, Ben's mom.
You know, classic Ben's mom. Then we have Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Mother's Day, Ellen. You were a badass to the very end, ma'am.
Oh, she so was.
She was the best.
I can't forget about Mary.
I was trying to save her.
Oh, damn
but
it.
But that wasn't going to happen.
I'll cut it out.
The OG mama, Eve.
Oh.
Then we have, she's the one that lost her kid in the zombie.
Jody. You forgot Jody?
I didn't forget Jody. I was getting there. Happy Mother's Day, Jody. And you know what? Happy Mother's Day, Rowena. You gave birth to the King of Hell for a short period of time. Also kind of left him, but it's fine.
She didn't love Fergus as much as she loved that other kid that wasn't really her kid.
Fergus. If you're a mom, happy Mother's Day. And if you're
happy
listening
Mother's
to your
Day.
Mom, happy Mother's Day.
We appreciate you, moms.
Don't know how you guys do what you do, but thank you for doing it.
It's rough.
But you do it with style and grace and a couple of swear words.
Yeah, a couple. Uh-huh. We'll go with that.
You know what we forgot to do on this? Because we already did it on our social medias.
What?
I think we should do a shout out. We haven't done a shout out. We haven't had like too many reasons to shout out. Except shout out to Nikki for sharing my shit and thinking I'm awesome. Thank you. And from the both of us, thank you, Meg.
Oh, Meg, yes. Thank you, Meg.
The real MVP, buying us 5 rounds of beers. 5.
Oh, going right back into the show. We really appreciate it.
Hell yeah. And we're glad that you're really enjoying this. We hope you continue to enjoy it.
Yeah, how far along in are you?
Tweet at us. Slide into the DMs. It's fine. That being said, obviously, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, or just want to message us, please feel free on any of our social medias. We are extremely easy to get to, and one of us is always answering stuff.
Yeah, we respond pretty quickly.
So please feel free on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our email. So thank you guys for listening to us. Obviously, like us, share us, leave us a review if you want to. You don't have to. We're not going to strong arm you into it. I promise.
It helps us if you do, though. It helps us be seen by other people and have more friends.
Yes. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you on next episode. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.